Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's a test of world governance and another way of responding to gun violence. Week one of the two-week UN Climate Summit in Paris has come to an end, with institutions and thousands of individuals pledging to stop spending on fossil fuels. There was the announcement this week of plans to boost clean energy in Africa, along with the announcement of $30 million from the United States to the countries most vulnerable to the effects of climate change. Among the most passionate participants at the summit are young people. The Ground Truth Project, headed by Charlie Sennett, co-founder of the Global Post, has been on the ground in Paris all week alongside a delegation of Ground Truth climate change fellows, six young international correspondents there to tell the biggest story of their generation. At partner station WGBH, Charlie Sennett gave us a briefing on his time in Paris, along with Ground Truth fellows Justine Kalma and Chris Bentley, who stuck around Paris to soak up the energy.
On one level, there's this really kind of heartening enthusiasm from the younger generation and across generations for climate action. But on another level, I think a lot of people are skeptical, and I think rightly so, that there's going to be an agreement struck that lives up to all the rhetoric at the end of this. We won't know until the end of next week, but it's a pretty tall order that, you know, enthusiasm alone can't fill. So while that's really important, I think a lot of young people are very aware of the hard work that needs to be done.
Charlie Sennett, in your time in Paris, what did the city seem like responding to, of course, the terrible events of last month, and also thinking back to the many times Paris has been a place where people came together to try to seek peace or changes in the world?
The COP21 is really trying to say that this is about the next generation, but it's very interesting confluence of events in Paris that it also really is the same generation of youth that was attacked on November 13th in Paris. It's hard not to think that the Islamic State activists who took this thing on and these terrorists who wanted to do damage and divide people knew that and went after youth. So there's a sense of a determination of young people in and around La République to show resistance to this terrorism. And one of the ways of doing that we've seen sort of demonstrated live in the square at La République is to shift the focus to COP21, to the environment, and to put pressure on the world to come together, a counter-narrative away from the division and terrorism, and go toward coming together and really working together on what, you know, many would argue is a much greater global security threat, and that's climate change.
Justine, is it hard to keep in perspective the idea that terrorism, which seems so palpable and right around the corner, is perhaps not as urgent as the climate change issues that take a much longer time to develop as you talk with people at this conference?
I think everyone who's here at this conference understands what's at stake when we talk about climate change. And so there has been some change of narrative since the attacks happened. You know, people are saying that one of the things climate change has the potential of doing is making conflicts even worse, as you know, as it further marginalizes people who are already vulnerable when different communities begin fighting for scarce resources. So I think it's only adding more fuel to the fire here.
And you represent the voice in some ways of some of the most vulnerable people in the world. Is there sympathy for the folks in the Philippines, your stomping ground?
Yeah, so I'm Filipino-American. I was born in Manila, but I have grown up mostly in California. And it's, you know, I understand how the Philippines is impacted, and I understand how California is impacted as well. And there are quite a few delegates that I've met with here from the Philippines. I met a young woman who had walked from Manila to Tacloban, which was the worst hit area of Typhoon Haiyan. And then she joined the People's Pilgrimage and walked from Lyon to Paris and is here as an activist as well. And so I definitely am very excited to see these voices are being heard.
Chris Bentley, we've spoken with people who are worried that this ritualized sense of periodically talking about global warming and acquiring a sense of optimism just by, you know, shaking hands and discussing these issues really is in the backdrop of we're losing time and we're already in a situation where we're going to have to be adapting to climate change. Do you see adaptation as the byword or prevention as the byword still on the floor of the conference there?
It has to be both, and they're so linked is the thing. Right now, we're talking about when you add up all the climate pledges that the various countries made in advance of the conference itself, we're talking about close to 3 degrees of warming, 3 degrees Celsius average global temperature rise, which is not only a lot, it's a lot more than the world agreed to do to keep it to several years ago. And even that is actually being called into question at this conference. There's a large group called the Climate Vulnerable Forum of the world's most vulnerable nations, those who'll stand to lose the most from climate change the quickest. And they want it actually to be 1.5 degrees Celsius. So that's about half what we're likely to get if the countries follow through with the pledges they came to the table with.
Well, Chris and Justine, thanks so much. Charlie, final thoughts?
Yeah, just to share one vignette, which is, you know, Chris and Justine have these great questions. It's hard for them to put them forward because they're surrounded by hundreds of establishment media, middle-aged folks like myself who are out there representing big news organizations that aren't asking these hard questions. Kevin Grant, who's the head of our group there, very much of this generation, tried to go to the Obama press conference, got into it, had his hand up the whole time. But I don't think many listeners understand that when the White House media press corps arrives at an event like this, all of the questions are pre-assigned, you know, to Associated Press, New York Times, CNN. Everyone knows what the questions are going to be. They're pre-selected. And there is sort of the fearless leader of this group, Kevin Grant, with his hand up with a crowdsourced question from all these young people about challenging President Obama, saying, if you're really listening to this generation, as you said you were in your speech here, why have you done so little in the environment in your administration? And when are we going to see an actual coordinated policy? And how can you say you're listening when, in fact, you know, we're not really seeing that? Beautiful question. And his hand was up the whole time, but he didn't get to ask it. So part of this is about the next generation finding its seat at the table and starting to ask those hard questions.
Charlie Sennert is co-founder of the Global Post and head of the Ground Truth Project based at WGBH. We spoke with him alongside Justine Kalma and Chris Bentley, two of the 6 Ground Truth Climate Fellows attending the conference in Paris. You can find a link to coverage from the Ground Truth Climate Fellows at thetakeaway.org.